Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you.
I'm excited to get in the Word of God with you tonight. Anybody here love the Word? Oh, not my Word. Anybody here love the Word? The Holy Word, the Bible? Okay, that's good. See, we have found ourselves accidentally in a bit of a series now. This is episode 2. Who was here last week? I got to know who I'm preaching to. I'm not checking on your attendance. I just want to see you. Put them high if you were here last week. All right, cool. Last week, we talked about the church. We are the church, but specifically we talked about the church at Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2:2-5, where Jesus speaks to a good church. Ephesus, desirable, a great church, a productive church, a church with good doctrine, a church with good theology, but a busy church. And we find out that it's not just a busy church, it's a distracted church. And Christ says, see, you're doing all these great things, but you've forsaken the love that you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do that which you did at first. That was last week. We talked about how it's so easy to get distracted in this life. And I don't know if you can relate to that, but me, I can. I'm a distracted person, man. I'm like a golden retriever that sees a squirrel. I'm distracted. I'm pulled so many different ways. I know, blonde hair. I didn't think about that. That's kind of funny. I get distracted easily. And this life is set up to distract us. Because let's be honest now, we have cell phones. We can work from anywhere at any time. We go for a walk, we got a podcast in our ear. Shoot, we can't go to the washroom anymore without scrolling on our phone. You know it's true, it's disgusting, but it's true. We are distracted. You get on the 401, you look left, somebody's texting and driving. You look right, somebody's texting and driving. We shouldn't do it, but we are distracted. Today, there is so much. There are so many streaming platforms. There's so many things that can pull our attention in so many different ways. And see, that was the church that we were talking about last week. They were busy, but they were broken. You know, they were active, doing the good things, but they were also, in a way, absent. And I want to preach to you tonight, and I promise you it'll be nice, but I want to preach to you about the danger of being distracted. The danger of crowding out the one thing that matters most. So we're going to learn from a woman in the Bible tonight. Ladies, make some noise. Come on, ladies, make some noise. You know you were the first to carry the gospel, right? Make some noise like you can share the good news. Men, don't leave. Hang out. It's applicable to us too. We're going to learn about a woman in the Bible named Mary. Not Mary, mother of Jesus. Don't get it twisted. Not her, okay? This is Mary, friend and follower of Jesus, sister of Martha, Mary and Martha of Bethany, Mary, sister of Lazarus. You maybe have heard of him. Mary was a follower of Christ, and she's in the Bible a lot, and I've been studying her, and it is unbelievable the things that you can learn. So we're going to look at three things. Three encounters that Mary had with Jesus Christ as he walked the earth, the Son of God, fully man. Mary had three encounters with him, and we're going to look at them. The first, we read one verse. We just got into it last week, but not all the way. The first is in Luke chapter 10. It's going to come up on the screen. Don't worry if you don't have your Bible. We have a very big television. You know, only old people would call that a television. I'm getting old. We have a big LED wall. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village. This village, by the way, is Bethany. It's a couple miles outside of Jerusalem, where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. That's important. Who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Look to your neighbor and say, listen up. No, look to your neighbor who you caught texting doing something else. Say, listen up. You're laughing too much. I'm offended. That means a lot of y'all were texting. But Martha was distracted. Look to the other neighbor, the one you just ignored, and say, you're distracted. Say, it's probably because of my good looks, but I can't help that. You're distracted. You didn't say it. You know, Christians, we all are so humble. You're distracted. But Martha was distracted, what? By all the preparations that had to be made. So she came to Jesus. Check this, Martha. She came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Anybody here with your sister tonight or your brother? Yo, I see you. This is some sibling stuff. I got my sister right here. You know how many times I've gone to my father? Tell her to help me. It's my baby sister, 9 years younger than me. Give it up for her. She's your guest experience pastor. Some real sibling rivalry stuff going on here. You know it gets serious because they didn't go to each other. No, no, no. Martha went straight to Jesus Christ. That's serious. Tell her to help me. And then Christ replies, like only Christ could, and says, Martha, Martha. You ever say someone's name twice? Martha, Martha. Look to your neighbor. Tell them their first name twice. Lindsay, Lindsay. Lindsay, Lindsay. Oh, Lindsay. Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about so many things. Anybody relate to that? That was me this morning. That was me 30 minutes ago. That's me. You are worried and upset about so many things, but few things are actually needed. Indeed, only one. Only one. Just one thing. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. The title of this message is Just One Thing. Somebody shout, just one thing. That was pathetic, but I'll let it slide. Just one thing. I didn't even ask you to repeat it. Y'all are getting good. Just one thing. See, here's what I want you to realize about this little scenario. Remember, this is Martha and Mary's house, okay? And Jesus Christ, the Messiah, walks in it. This is a big deal. And what I want you to see from this story is that both sisters were present, but only one was in his presence. Do you know, Christians, that you can be present, but not in his presence? I am a fifth generation PK. Do you know how many church services I have been present for, but not in the presence? I don't say that proudly. Now I'm a pastor. It is so easy to be present, but to miss the presence of your Lord and your Savior. And it's not a question of if he shows up. It's a question of if Ryan shows up. Because he's there. So the question tonight, the first question is this. Don't ask your neighbor because it's rude. Are you Mary or are you Martha? Do you carry the Martha spirit or the Mary spirit? And I'm just going to tell you, I'm Martha the heck out of this life, man. I am a doer. I am not a listener. I love to do. I want to be productive. I want to see results. I love doing things. If I'm going to hang out with one of my boys, if I'm going to hang out with a friend, you know, if it's not a ministry get together, I mean just hang out, you know what I ask? What are we going to do? Are we going to the game? Are we playing golf? Are we watching the game? Are we eating food? What are we doing? And my worst nightmare ever is for that friend of mine, that male friend, to say, why don't we just get a coffee? And it's not because I don't like coffee. I'm an addict just like you. It's because you know what that means? It means that we are going to have to talk. I don't want to get together to talk. Are you kidding me, bro? Is something wrong? If a guy friend asked me to get coffee, I'm like, are you okay? Did a relationship fall apart? Like, do we need to work through some things? Like, what's going on, bro? Because the gym is open. The game is on. Wings are half price, and I'm cheap. So when they say, I just want to get coffee, I get worried. You know why? Because truthfully, I'm a bad listener. Ladies, us men, we generally suck at listening. It's true. Cut us some slack. I'm standing really close to my wife while I say all this. See, when I got married to this sweet girl, by the way, it's her birthday today. Would you give it up for my baby girl? Stand up, Lindsay. I'm not going to sing because everybody will leave. Happy birthday. We love you. You're beautiful. But see, when I got married to this girl, I had to learn some things. And it's funny because now I do premarital counseling. Oh, how the world works. I had to learn some things. And one of the things is that I had to learn how to be a listener. Because Lindsay would have a problem. She'd be going through something because she's human, just like I do. She's perfect, you know, she's going through something. And she wants to talk about it. And before the words can even come off her tongue, I'm already listing all the ways I'm going to fix it. Yeah, no problem, we'll do this. Yeah, no problem, we'll do that. I got a plan, we'll do this. We'll talk to this person, we'll buy that, we'll do this, we'll go there. I'm ready to fix it. And it doesn't come from a bad place. I love her, I want to help her. I don't want to see her in problems. But here's the thing. She is a brilliant, independent, successful woman in her own right. She doesn't need me to fix all her problems. What she's looking for is relationship with me. She wants someone who will be willing to sit with her, to listen to her, to empathize a little bit, to be there, to be present, to be close to her. And I've had to learn slowly how to do that, not just to go to the doing, the doing, the doing, the doing. Why is that important? Because it's not that doing is bad. Don't get me wrong. The Bible tells us a lot of things that we need to do. Christ taught a lot about doing. In fact, before Luke chapter 10 was the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is all about how you serve, how you do. But we cannot let the doing come at the expense of the listening. Not when it comes to our Lord and Savior. See, Martha was doing. She was preparing the house, but doing the dishes won't save your soul. In fact, the Bible says our righteous works are like filthy rags. It's not productivity that changes us. It's presence that changes us. Mary understood. So tonight, I want to attack in a kind, Christian, spirit-filled way even the good things that might be keeping you from the God things. One person who's a pastor said, that's great. Thank you. See, understand, the devil is happy if he can get you. We talked about this last week, focused on anything but God. Because any other lane, he's got a chance. But you get in the lane that is following Jesus Christ, he has no chance. He's a defeated foe. He's under the heel of Jesus Christ. Somebody should be excited about that. He's defeated. That's right. But did you know that in an effort to do all the things right, in an effort to have your house in order, you can miss the one thing that can actually save your house? Jesus Christ came in the house and Martha all but missed him. In fact, she only talked to him to complain about her sister. And it's not that she was bad. It's not that she was doing things wrong. But Christians understand, in an effort today to pay the bills, to finish the assignments, to get the kids where they need to go, to get the house that costs $2 million and is a shack because you live in Canada, thank you, government, to have all these things. To have all these things, it's easy to forget the one thing, just one thing, the one thing that really matters, the better part, as Christ called it. Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, he said this. He said, the Martha spirit at the end of the day asks this, is the job done, yes or no? The Mary spirit at the end of the day asks this, is Jesus pleased, yes or no? That is the better part. That is the one thing that actually really matters. Why? Because the Martha spirit will have you focused on your own performance and falling short. But the Mary spirit will have you focused on Jesus' performance and falling in love. falling in love to the one who first loved you. So what is Luke chapter 10 telling us? What's the Mary lesson from this first encounter? It's to not trade the one thing for the many things. It's not that they're bad. It's not like Martha was up in the club. She was serving. She was volunteering at church. Christ is there teaching. This is church before the birth of the church. But you can still miss the one thing even when you're serving in church. This is what happened. Even the good can keep you from God. It's why Mark chapter 8, 36 says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, even all the good parts, and yet lose his soul? Good, my friends, won't save our soul. Good can't save my soul. The only place that my soul is safe and secure is at the feet of Jesus, close to him, listening to him. That's number one. Isn't Mary wise? This is crazy. Here's the second encounter that we come to. John chapter 11. You might know this story. Lazarus, we mentioned him already. If you were a good church person, you've heard it preached maybe time and time again, but this is something different. And we're going to jump right into the story at the point where Lazarus, Mary's brother, Mary and Martha's brother, is sick. And he doesn't have the flu, man. He is really sick. He's deathly sick. And Mary and Martha have been doing ministry with Jesus. They've been seeing Jesus heal people. So what do? They send word to the disciples. Jesus, the one whom you love, is sick. Lazarus wasn't just a man, he was a man whom Christ loved. Come and heal him. The one you love is sick. And then what happens? For 2 days, absolutely nothing. The Savior is silent. And Mary and Martha are looking at their sick brother. And Christ has been healing everybody else. But here's the one I love, my brother. And they watch their brother die. Not go into a coma. They watch him die. They watch the breath leave his body. They bury him in a tomb and they have a funeral ceremony. Christ didn't show up. And Mary, that jumps into the story at verse 32. Mary doesn't come out when Jesus does finally come. Because Jesus finally comes 2 days later to Bethany. And Martha runs this time to go greet him. And Mary is so mad, maybe so sad, maybe so let down, maybe so dejected, that she stays in the house. She doesn't even come out to see the Messiah until verse 32, when Christ calls her by name and asks her to come out of the house. Martha has done good already. She's declared that Jesus is who he says he is, that she believes that he's the healer. But Mary wouldn't come out. This time Mary comes out, and what does she do? She fell at his feet. And this is so sad. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I don't know if you've ever been in a Mary place. Lord, if you had answered me, this situation would not be what it is. Lord, I cried out to you. Lord, I served you. Lord, I've seen you do it for others. Why didn't you do it for me? This is where Mary is in this moment. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came along with her also weeping, he was moved in the spirit and he was troubled. So he asked her, where have you laid him? Come and see, they replied. And then verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, but a verse that tells you so much about the heart of Jesus Christ. Jesus wept. See, think about this for a moment. Jesus is omniscient. He knows all, fully man, but fully God. Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus back to life. In fact, he already told his disciples so much if you read back in the story a little bit. And if he was like Ryan McVitie, he would have said, Mary, why are you crying, girl? I'm just going to bring him back to life. But Jesus is not insensitive like me. No. Jesus is also friend. And he gets down with Mary. who has fallen at his feet. And he sits in her sorrow and her pain, and he weeps. And he cries. Because that's how much he loves her. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves me. He stopped to weep. And then verse 36, the Jews said, see how he loved him, but they use his compassion against him. They say, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man, a previous miracle he had done, kept this man from dying if he loved him so much? But Jesus wasn't done. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across it. And he said, take away the stone. How many know that your God is still a stone roller? That he's not done working? That even when it looks like the story's over, it's not. But Martha, here she comes. Martha said, Jesus, you don't understand. It's been 4 days, which was significant because in Hebrew tradition at the time, after the third day, the soul would leave the body, meaning this guy is dead and you don't understand. There's a bad odor. There's a stink. Don't bring shame onto my dead brother by opening the tomb. There's going to be a bad stink. But then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? This is a word for someone. Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit is saying to you, did I not tell you if you believe, you'll see the glory, even though it looks unlikely? So what happened next? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He speaks to his Father. Do you know Jesus is your advocate? You don't need a lawyer. You got the best lawyer of all time. You got Jesus Christ advocating on your behalf to the court most high, the holy throne. Hallelujah. I like her. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And that dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with linen, a cloth around his face. And he said, take off the grave clothes. It's time to go. I'm not done with you yet, Lazarus. There's more to your story. I know your sisters thought you were gone. I know your friends thought you were gone, but there's more. I don't know. This is not the sermon tonight, but somebody needs to know in the room, God's not done with you yet. There's more to your story. The devil told you you're too old. The devil told you you're not smart enough. You don't look good enough. You're not cool enough. But God is just getting started with you. Take off the grave clothes. He's taking you away from your past. That's next week's sermon, I promise. But this week, what I want you to see is all the way back to the beginning of this story, verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and she came out, what did she do? She still fell at his feet. Even though she was broken, even though she felt forsaken by Jesus, even though she was confused and she didn't understand it, she still came close to Jesus and sat at his feet. Why is that important? Because God wants you to know tonight, even though it doesn't look like how you thought it was gonna look like, come close to God. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will not abandon you. When life falls apart, don't run from God, run to God. I promise you, it's the best thing you could do. She was angry with God, but she still fell at his feet. Bring your anger. Bring your confusion. Bring your questions. You think God can't handle your questions? He hung the cornerstones of the universe. You could ask him. Bring it all to him. He will sit with you. He will weep with you. Because he loves you. And the reality of life is that one day, you will fall. One day I will fall. Maybe we won't fall. Maybe our circumstances around us will fall. But one day there will be a fall. And I want to teach you something. When you're in a free fall, heaven forbid, one day when I end up on YouTube and go famous and viral, not for preaching the word of God, but for falling off this stage. And this girl totally just laughed at me. She didn't even catch me when I fall off and somebody recorded it and it gets millions of views. Not the way I thought my career would go. One day I'll fall. But not in a silly way from this stage. One day I'll fall in a serious way. We all do. And if you think you'll never fall, my friend, you have the hardest fall ahead of you. And here's the thing. When you fall, This is good. You got to understand. When you fall, when you're in a free fall, when you're dropping, you don't stop and use wisdom and discernment. Should I grab onto this? Should I grab onto that? Will this be sturdy? Will this hold me? No, no, no. What do you grab onto? You grab onto that which is most close. Let it be God. Because if he is close, when you fall, he will pick you up. He will turn you around and set your feet on solid ground. It's his promise. So what's Mary teaching you? That, yeah, you're going to fall. Yeah, it's going to hurt. Maybe you're confused, but if you stay close to God, he brings even dead things back to life again. He's not done. You have victory in him if you'll stay close. He's saying, stay close, my daughter. Stay close, my son. He's your refuge, your strong tower, your strength. We love to quote that we can do all things. The reality is that's not the whole story. We can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. Proximity to his presence is your power. Proximity to his presence is your power. Mary got it. She got just the one thing. Last thing that Mary did. We're almost there. The third encounter is the next chapter, John chapter 12. Get ready. John 12, verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had already raised from the dead. This is on the other side of the miracle. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served. There she is again. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. This guy was in a grave for 4 days and had grave clothes wrapped around him. And now he's reclining at the table eating food. Don't tell me it's an allegory. Don't tell me it was a ghost. I've never seen a ghost eat chicken wings. Probably wasn't chicken wings in Jerusalem, but you get the point. He was dead, and now he's alive. And here comes Mary again. And she is looking at her walking, talking, breathing miracle, her brother. And imagine the joy. She thought it was done. And God said, it's not done. I'm the Alpha. I started the story. I'm the Omega. I'll finish the story. Trust. Bet. It's not over. That's what he's saying. And she's sitting there. Imagine this scene. And Lazarus and Jesus are talking. Imagine the conversation. Imagine the joy. Imagine it all. And then what does Mary do? She does what the Mary spirit does in response to a miracle. She takes about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it out on Jesus' feet. There she is again. She poured it out on Jesus' feet, and she wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with fragrance of the perfume. In the parallel Gospels of Mark and Matthew, we learn that it's an alabaster bottle. This right here is an alabaster bottle that is 2,000 years old, and this was found in the old city of Jerusalem. She had an alabaster bottle, probably a little bit larger than this one, but I'm not that wealthy, so this is as big as I could get. But even the alabaster bottle itself was expensive. And what does she do? She falls at his feet, and she breaks the jar. It's significant because she doesn't give just a little and save some for herself. She breaks the jar and she spends it all on him. And she washes his feet with her hair. She pours it out onto him. But then one of his disciples, one of Christ's disciples, this dog, Judas Iscariot. Dog is not in the KJV. Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, we know all about that, objected. Of course he did. He said, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? For it was a year's wage. Now hold on. Let's think about what Judas is saying for a little bit. A year's wage, $50,000, $60,000 in today's economy. And she just breaks it at his feet. Not even his head, at his feet. She breaks it at his feet. And now we learn about Judas's heart, verse 6. Now, he didn't say this because he cared about the poor. Oh, you know how church people do. Not because he cared about the poor, but because he was the keeper of the money bag and he used to help himself to it. Oh, I'm going to miss my cut. But Jesus comes to Mary's defense and he says, leave her alone. Now, this is crazy. I don't know if you get what I'm about to tell you. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. Hold on. What are you talking about, Jesus? For the day of my burial. And then verse 8, you will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. See, the disciples think this is just another day. And there's this random act, this wasteful act of a breaking of a bottle of so much money being lavished on the Savior's feet. But here's the thing. Here, babe, I'm going to give you this, put you to work. Thank you. Here's the thing. The disciples missed something that Mary did not miss. Do you know what it is? Christ told the disciples many times, but they were busy. Not up in the club. They were busy doing ministry. They were productive, but they were not always close. See, Mary knew that 6 days from now, 6 days from Passover, Christ would be crucified on the cross. And Mary was preparing the burial service already. See, Mary, the woman, the follower, was always close. So she knew things that nobody else knew. Christ said it time and time again, but the disciples, they didn't accept it or they didn't hear it. They didn't want it, so they didn't embrace it, but she knew about it. Why? Because she understood just one thing, that when you're close to God, good things happen. And she poured it out. And then verse 8 that I read already, you will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Don't get it twisted. God's Son, Christ, is not saying it's bad to serve the poor. Of course not. It's a commandment that we serve the poor. But the point he's making one more time before he goes to the cross is that even that is a good thing, but it's not the one thing. That Jesus Christ himself is the one thing. Yes, it's good. Do it for the least. He said this is a commandment. But it's not the one thing. Don't let the good things keep you from the one thing. The one thing that really matters. Mary got her miracle, and her response was what? To pour out her praise at his feet. Matthew 26:10, Christ said, she's done a beautiful thing for me. He rewarded her. It was extravagant praise. It was intimate praise. It was expensive praise. It was a praise that cost her. But she understood that there is nothing more precious than being at the feet of Jesus, her Savior. Come on. She understood the one thing. Now, the first time I read Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, you don't need all those other things, indeed, only one. And that's where this title came from, just one thing. But here's the final question of the night before we go back into worship. When he says you only need one, what is it? Pastor, you've said it 100 times. What is the one thing? What is it? What's the only thing? I want to ask you, what is the one thing that Mary did in all 3 scriptures I read you? In all 3 seasons. First in the pain, man. Excuse me. First in the peace, then in the pain, but first in the peace when Christ comes to her home. Imagine God coming to your home, the type of peace that that would bring. What did she do then? Second in the pain when her brother is dead and her Savior was silent. And then third and last in the praise when she stood on the other side of her miracle and she knew about the next miracle that was going to come. No one else knew, but she knew. What did she do? In the first one, Luke 10:39, look at it on the screen. She sat at the Lord's feet. The first time, what did she do in her peace? She sat at the Lord's feet. Learning. Here's where she would learn the faith that she would need to get her through the trials that were to come. What did she do the second time? John chapter 11. Put it up on the screen. This time, she fell at his feet. In her pain, when she didn't understand, when it made no sense. Lastly, John 12, what did she do? What was the one thing? She poured it out on Jesus' feet. So what is the one thing? What is the one thing that she did every single time in every single season, my friends? She remained at the feet of Jesus Christ. She remained at the feet of Jesus Christ in her peace, in her pain, and in her praise. Why am I telling you this? I'm not trying to be cute with my preaching or my graphics. I'm trying to tell you that at the high place of your life, stay at his feet. It sounds easy, but it's hard because that's when you think you got it all together. At the low place of your life, when you're in the valley, the devil's going to tell you to run away. Don't go to God. God has forsaken you, but you know the words of your Father. He will never leave you, forsake you, nor abandon you. He stays closer than a brother. Stay at his feet and in the praise. What is a praise if it is not in his presence? Even in the praise, pour it out, no matter what it is. She poured out a whole year's wage because that's what he's worth. Don't worry, it's not a giving message. I promise, we're not going there. But in all seasons, she understood one thing, just one thing, to remain at the feet of Christ. And Christ's response to her was Matthew 26, 13. This is crazy. Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, even in Whitby, Ontario, 2,000 years later, what she has done, Mary, will be told in memory of her. 2,000 years later, it would be known by everyone. Jesus forever highlighted the closeness of Mary, not her productivity, not her perseverance, but her proximity to Christ. That is what the Lord wants tonight from you. Mary was never seen preaching. She was never seen teaching. She was never seen leading crowds. I'm not saying those are bad. Those are good things. But she did the one thing, indeed the only one, that really mattered. She understood the thing that will change your life now and forevermore. Why am I telling you all this? Because there's someone in the room, you know this to be true, but you've gotten far. You've gotten far. Jesus Christ is calling you back. Jesus Christ is calling me back. Come, my child, sit at my feet. I have more for you. I will weep with you. I will bless you. Mary understood that power in this life does not come from your productivity. It does not come from your platform. It does not come from popularity or your persistence. Your power comes from the presence of the Most High God. If you believe it, put your hands together. Your power comes from the presence of the Most High God. Mary was a true servant of the Lord. We're almost done now, but I need you to get this. Mary was a true servant of the Lord. She sat at his feet. That's what servants do. And I want to tell you, the most powerful move you could ever make is to sit at the feet of your Savior. Because here's the promise to you. Oh, it gets better. Here's the promise to you if you're a servant of the Lord Most High. Isaiah 54, 17, you know it, but I don't know if you know it like this. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. What? Why? Because this is the heritage of servants of the Lord. Stay at his feet, and the weapons will come, but they're not going to prosper, baby. Devil, you bring your best stuff. It's fine. You see who I'm standing next to? That's the one who created the universe. If you have him, you have everything. And do you see what that verse said? Put it back up on the screen, 54:17. That verse says that this is your heritage. Look around this room. Look at the diversity. people from everywhere, people of different heritages, different backgrounds, different homelands, different tongues. This world can take a whole lot from you, my friend. This world can take your money. This world can take your title. This world can take your fame. This world can take a whole lot, but it can never take your heritage from you. Because that's who you are. That's where you came from. Why is this important? Because God is saying, if you are a servant, this is your heritage. And they can never take it from you. There's nothing you can do to lose it. Because you are a servant of the Most High God. In his presence, friends, you have the undefeated King of the universe. His record is 999,000-0. When did you start believing that your mess was going to be the one that he couldn't handle? He's got you. But stay close. Stay close. Would you stand to your feet? Because we're going to go back into worship. And this night is not done. There's not a lot of time left. But I believe the most important part of this night is still to come. Why? Because now you have an opportunity to get close again. To sit at your Savior's feet. And the truth is, there's thousands of you, a couple thousand of you here tonight. And I don't know your circumstance. That's the truth. I really don't. I don't know if you're experiencing peace in this season. I don't know if you're in pain in this season. I don't know if it hurts to even give praise right now. But what I do know is exactly what my Savior has told me. That what you need, the answer to your problem, is only found in one place. At his feet. Sitting in his presence. Because his presence is that one thing. That one thing that changes everything. You ready for this? David. King David. The one after God's own heart. Also the one who did so much wrong. At the end of his story, you know what he figured out? He figured out this, Psalm 27:4. If there's one thing, you see it? If there's one thing I ask of the Lord, it is to dwell in his house, to be close to him, to have his presence. The rich young ruler had everything this world could offer. All of it. But Jesus Christ said, you still lack one thing. It's coming on the screen. You still lack one thing. Luke 18:22. Come, follow me. Sit at my feet. Be my servant. You still lack one thing. Paul, the great apostle, he declared boldly, there is one thing I do. Just one thing. What is it, Paul? I press towards the mark, the high calling, Christ Jesus. Paul, who established the early church. He got it too. Just one thing. In his presence, my friends, there is a fullness of joy that you can't find in anything this world has to offer. You have a God-shaped hole in your heart that only he can fill. So do I. But here's the amazing thing about his presence. It's here, right now. It's as real as the air that you're breathing in this room. The only question is, are you present, P-R-E-S-E-N-T? Or are you willing to get into the presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E? So just for a few moments, please, please, just for a few moments. The parking lot is still gonna suck after this. Work is still going to be there tomorrow. School is going to be there tomorrow. But tonight you can have the one thing that will change it all. And C.S. Lewis, the great author, he said this, it's in the process of being worshipped that God reveals his presence the most. So right now we're going to worship him. And we're not going to worship him thinking about what the person next to us thinks about us. We're not going to worship him thinking, oh, is it 9:41 or 9:49? What time is it? No, no, no. We're going to worship him like Mary worshiped him when she fell at his feet and said, I don't want anything else. I don't need anything else. Jesus, you are my one thing. And if I have you, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know I'm going to make it in my peace, in my pain, and now in this moment, in my praise. So come on, clap those hands together.